I'd like to do a little teaching this morning, a little liturgical teaching. Over the last few weeks of Advent, we've heard about a little bit of the theology of Advent, a little of the spirituality of Advent. But I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the liturgical things we do during this season of Advent, to put it in some sort of a context. What's interesting is that in the early church, there began to be a rhythm of how we gather and how we pray. Many of you who grew up in the Episcopal Church, and I would propose those who grew up in other denominations as well, kind of grew up in sort of a yearly cycle, a yearly rhythm. So, for instance, the readings that we heard today on this third Sunday of Advent, you'd hear next year during the third Sunday of Advent, and you'd hear the next year on the third Sunday of Advent, and on and on and on. You'd hear the same readings on the fourth Sunday after Pentecost every year. It was sort of an annual kind of a rhythm. Back around the 1960s, when there was a lot of liturgical renewal happening, things changed in a bit. And the Book of Common Prayer that we have, the new prayer book, which is from 1979, came out of that liturgical renewal. And one of the things that was introduced in a way to perhaps expose us and help us to hear more scripture was not so much this annual rhythm as much as a three-year rhythm. Now, some of this you may already know, I'm repeating myself, but I want to put this Advent season in some sort of context. So in this three-year rhythm, we hear some readings in the first year, other readings in the second year, other readings in the third year. We've come up with the creative way of calling them year A, year B, year C. Really creative. But in year A, which we're in now, which we started a couple of weeks ago, most of what we'll hear in terms of the gospel reading will be from the Gospel of Matthew. We just finished year C, which was the Gospel of Luke. And year B is a lot of Mark. And so each year there's kind of we're focusing on a gospel reading. John's gospel gets kind of inserted in there throughout those three-year cycles as well. I know there's four gospels, only 3 years, but John's gospel is inserted is there as well. Also, we hear a lot of other scripture. The readings from the Hebrew scriptures, the readings from the New Testament are change in those 3 years. And so over the course of 3 years, we hear a lot of scripture. A lot of scripture. And in the recently revised Common Lectionary, which most of the mainline churches follow, perhaps your friends and neighbors in other churches, perhaps in Methodist Church, Roman Catholic Church, Lutheran Church, they're reading the same readings we're hearing today. So there's kind of a common thread that's going on within all those gathering in Christian households. But while that three-year rhythm has been introduced, we still follow, though, an annual liturgical year, which begins with Advent, which we just started. And we go from Advent to Christmas, from Christmas to Epiphany, and onward we go. The Sundays after Epiphany, we eventually enter into Lent, the Easter time, Pentecost, the Sundays after Pentecost. We follow that rhythm every year. And we as a church, we're in the season of Advent. We're actually not in the season of Christmas. I know we're surrounded by that, but we're actually in this very unique season of Advent. In our tradition, Christmas begins on December 25th. Begins on the 25th. And that season goes until Epiphany. But right now we're in this unique season. And I want to talk a little bit about this season, offer you my understanding of some things. Our early Christian brothers and sisters, this is sometimes surprising to folks, didn't really celebrate what we know as Christmas. It wasn't celebrated until about in the 300s, 325, 375, somewhere in the 300s, what we know as Christmas, the Feast of the Incarnation, began to be celebrated. It doesn't seem like it was that big a feast or something to commemorate in the early Christian church. Easter was the defining celebration of who we are as Christians. But what we know as Christmas took a few hundred years to get sort of into the calendar. And what it seems happened is celebrating Christmas, the early Christians decided to put together a season to precede the celebration of Christmas. And that season had more of a penitential tone to it than perhaps it does today. It was looked upon as a time of penance, a time of prayer, much like Lent. Had a very similar flavor to it that Lent had. Advent in the beginning was actually a few weeks longer than it is now, but eventually it became these four Sundays of Advent, the 4 weeks before Christmas. And as you went through Advent with this penitential sense of things, there was offered towards the end of Advent this little sort of relief, this little kind of breather. And that is marked by this other candle, this pink rose candle. This was very similar to what the Christians did during the season of Lent. On into the season of Lent, there was a Sunday where people were able to maybe not be as penitential. It was looked upon as kind of a breather as you go through this very serious season. And so you could suggest that Advent had that similar flavor to it. It's why we have these four candles, but one is a different color. The understanding of Advent, though, has changed over the years. It's been seen now less of a penitential season, but more as a season that's calling us not to so much prepare for Christmas, but as I shared last week, looking to the second coming, looking beyond, as I mentioned last week, to the fullness of creation as we move towards that, being watchful, waiting, and patient. It's interesting in that letter, the reading we just heard from James, very short reading, the word patient appears four times. Be patient, be patient, be patient. Being a patient, watching, and waitful people as we go through this season. In the early church, the early Christian church, they saw this as leading to Christmas. Christmas, as you may know, it's celebrated on December 25th. Someone came up to me the other day and they said, when is Christmas? Meaning, is it on a Tuesday or a Wednesday? And I said, December 25th. We know it's on December 25th. The reason the early church chose that day is they believed that that was the winter solstice. They had no sense of when Jesus was born. We don't know when Jesus was born. But in the culture of the time, the winter solstice had this celebration on this darkest, shortest day of the year. There was a festival of lights. And the early Christians, to me, I think this was brilliant. They chose that day to be the day of announcing not only the lights that were candles that were lit and lights that were lit to sort of show this sense of light in the darkness, but the early Christians said, our light of the world is born on this day. And we took in that idea of light in the darkness. I mean, there weren't Christmas trees at the manger, but we've taken that from the culture, and it reminds us of light in the darkness. The only thing is that the early Christians didn't realize that the winter solstice is actually on December 21st. So Christmas really probably would have ended up on December 21st, but we chose December 25th. And so, in a sense, this sense of the darkest day, we celebrate the light that's come into the world. In many ways, these candles slowly walk us through that. You know, the first candle, the second candle, the third candle, the more light as we walk through this season until Christmas, when we celebrate the true light that has come in into this world. The season has changed from that early penitential sense, but I think these candles and the symbols that we use, the light that we use, call us to the fullness, the possibility of being a watchful, waiting people, waiting to see Jesus, the Christ, come again, totally present among us. So I offer those thoughts this morning, more of a liturgical teaching moment. In many churches today, the color purple is not worn by the clergy, but a different color is used. Rose color vestments are used. And actually, in the Episcopal Church and in many other liturgical churches, the real color for Advent is blue, blue vestments. We don't have blue vestments here at St. Paul's, but if we were to do that, blue would be more the color for Advent, and purple the color for Lent, because of the significance of the change of meaning in that. So I offer that to you today. Hopefully that's something of you can file away and help understand some of these symbols that we use and what they mean on a deeper level as we walk together, towards the wondrous mystery of Christ present among us and calling us into the dream and the vision of God's creation.